the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Okay, I'm here with Peyton and Eli Manning, both number one picks, both two-time Super Bowl champs, both have been recruited heavily to join the broadcast world. Peyton, I want to start with you. Was it the success of Soup with Coop that led you to believe this broadcasting thing would work for you?
Without a doubt. That just solidified everything that I thought. If you can have a show involving Soup, A, that just tells you that there's a future there. And you have my brother. Yeah. I mean, I have all these people that text me, hey, I'm doing Soup with Coop. And I'm like, why are you telling me? Like, what, like do you think, are you apologizing to me? Or you want me to, like, you know, congratulate you? I'm not sure what that means. I mean, Eli and I haven't even been asked to be on Soup with Coop.
Like, I know, I'm a little insulted. Know,
right. Yeah. I mean, what do you have to do to get an invite, Eli?
I guess he knows I don't really like Soup that much.
Yeah, you have bad Soup history. Yeah.
It's interesting because, Peyton, it was very obvious you did a lot of commercials. You were funny. Everybody knew that. And that you had a lot of options. Eli is the Derek Jeter of New York football. Now he's suddenly Chris Rock. We had no idea until he retired. He's the funniest guy in the world. So give me a backstory. I didn't think of Eli as broadcast guy. I thought of you as broadcast guy. Are you a little surprised that Eli is now doing a stand-up at Sheboygan on weekends? He's like Mr. Funny Guy suddenly.
It's free. It's free to get in to see Eli do comedy. You don't have to pay anything. Actually, they pay you to come in and listen. You know, I think Eli and I will probably both tell you that what we're doing, Colin, I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what to call it. But it's not your typical broadcast, you know, critique, if you will. It's, at least in my mind, maybe I'm just lying to myself, but I kind of see it as just two brothers watching an NFL game at a bar, and the viewer is watching it with us, and we're watching it as a fan, right? I mean, you may use the word ambassador, but really as a fan. I mean, I love watching football. I mean, since I stopped playing, everybody said, oh, you're not going to want to watch football. You're going to miss it too much. Not true. I got to do it for a long time. I love the fact that I got to play it. And now I'm a fan. I like watching Mahomes play, just like I used to like watching Brett Favre play. I like watching Josh Allen play. So I think the fact that I get to watch a Monday night game with my brother that I haven't done since 1993, you know, Eli never flew to Indianapolis for Monday night dinner in 2007. And so that's cool. And we get to maybe take the viewer behind the ropes a little bit on what the coordinator is saying to the quarterback in his helmet, and I'll call the play to Eli, and then Eli will repeat that to the huddle, right? Take people behind the ropes on what that sounds like. What's the quarterback's coach saying to the quarterback when they're looking at those pictures, those tablets on the sideline? Eli and I can give you those conversations. But the second and one running play, Colin, that nobody cares about, we're not going to diagram that. We're going to be having a conversation with Charles Barkley on that play about why he didn't play football. Was he scared to get hit? You know, I mean, how do you change right. basketball? So it's a conversational, it's more casual, but last thing I'll say, I'll let Eli go. I'm going to be hard pressed to say anything negative about a quarterback or a lot of players. If the guy throws an interception, I'm probably going to say, watch this play by this safety, right? This is an awesome play, you know, because I know what it was like as a quarterback. I'm not going to say, how can you do that? Because I did it, right? I threw six interceptions against the Chargers one game. Like, you know, what right do I have to say, how can you do that? So I know how hard it is. I'm going to be a quarterback defender, a player defender. But I think it'll be fun kind of taking a different approach. Sorry, Eli, I took up all the time. What's your answer going to be?
Well, that's what I want to hear. I like the idea. By the way, this is what I want to hear, Eli. I want to hear two brothers talk. I'm not looking for Al Michaels. I love him. I love Joe Buck. That's not what I want. How do you interpret it, Eli?
Yeah, I think in the same way. I think we can give a you know, I think we'll be able to tell fun stories. I think we'll, you know, if they're playing a game in you know, Arrowhead, we, you know, we've played in Arrowhead. We'll have stories about, you know, when we played there, but also, you know, we'll be talking through some plays, but when there's a great play, when the quarterback changes up protection and picks up an overload blitz, and, you know, we can tell the fans, hey, what is, you know, what he did right there, why he did that, how he did that, and how that was communicated without giving away secrets of what the team is doing, but just what it's like to play quarterback. And when you play quarterback, you don't just know the quarterback position. You know what the receivers are supposed to do. You know what the offensive line is supposed to do. You know every defense, where they're supposed to be lined up, and the rules, the coverages. So the quarterback is, you got to know at every position their responsibilities. And so we can break that down. You know, when there's really cool plays in the design of a play, in the design of a defense, you know, we can just kind of give an inside look at some of those details and have the ability to break those downs on why a play was successful from a defensive standpoint and an offensive standpoint. So I think it's just a more casual way to watch the game. I remember we were doing a couple breakdowns and, you know, we're watching, you know, watching the Vikings play, and I'm saying, hey, watch Kendricks right here, how he does this great job of kind of, you know, baiting the line in the think he's not blitzing, he blitzes. And they're saying, well, hey, it's actually better if you say the number. Like, all the fans might not know who Kendricks is. So, you know, you don't have to know every number. Just say number 54. That's better for us, because the fans, you know, they'll be able to understand what you're doing and how you're breaking down that film. And so I'm like, oh, that's even better. I don't have to know every single player's name that's playing. We can say numbers. And so just, you know, it's just more of a fan kind of watching a game that wants to know a little bit more what's going on. We can dive into that.
You know, it's what's really fascinating about your family. And I said this 2 days ago on the air. I said, like, it's really an American football royalty that each of you, your father, Eli, and Peyton, you all have different styles. So I'm mid 50s. I watched your dad on those terrible Saints teams. I remember him well. He was a mover. He was mobile. You know, he and Tarkenton moved. Most right. guys didn't. Then it was Staubach was the next guy to move. Most guys didn't. And then Eli, when I look at you and Peyton, you're traditional pocket quarterbacks, but I view you differently. The first time Eli, I watched you, it was your second year. And I talked to Ernie Accorsi about this once. I was like, he's so good in the 2 minute drill. Like, nobody. And the SEC back in those days, Eli, that you came out of, and you too, Peyton, was much more of a run conference. Peyton, did you ever watch Eli? We'll start with you. And did you ever watch Eli and go, you know, my little brother, he does something. Did you ever, you know, comics, talk show hosts, we steal bits and pieces, right, from people that were like, ooh, his teasing's good. His storytelling's good. Peyton, was there ever a time that you watched Eli and went, you know, my little brother, he's pretty good at that. Like, what did you admire about his game?
Yeah, it was funny, Colin. I go to college at Tennessee, right? I'm a freshman. Eli's a freshman in high school, right? 5 years younger, right? Eighth grader. I'm coming back once a year to New Orleans, right? On a bye week, maybe once in the summer. So I'm seeing Eli, you know, twice a year. Every time I see him, he's getting a little taller. He's growing. He's still not saying much. I mean, he's still very quiet. I'm not saying he's speaking a lot, but I just see a different kid each time I see him, right? All 4 years in high school, I'm playing for the Colts now. He's at Ole Miss. I'm seeing him once a year. And each year I just see this development. And so I kind of got to witness that right before my eyes that he's a different kind of quarterback because of how calm and cool and collected he is. I was telling Colin before the show, Eli, that Cooper and I used to, you know, try to compete over who could make you cry first when you were like a 3-year-old, and like we couldn't do it. And we were trying everything, pulling out all the stops. And I think that just kind of served him well, Colin, that just nothing bothered him. It didn't rattle him. He couldn't get rattled. And God, what a great characteristic and a trait to have as a quarterback. Especially when you're playing against the Giant for the Giants in New York, and especially in a 2 minute drill. So I did kind of have a sense early on that Eli was unique and had some special traits. And it was just fun to kind of witness that growth in kind of 1 year installments.
You know, Eli, you are in the shadow of what many believe Peyton Manning is one of the great football prodigies of my life. In fact, I think Eli, Peyton, you're the only quarterback that was number one high school, number one college, number one pick, and ended up being great. Like most of the time, it's overlooked. Aaron Rodgers, junior college, Big Ben, Miami of Ohio. Like you're it. Number one, number one, number one, legend. That's it. And Eli, you grew up in a little bit of the shadow of that. And yet, I can honestly say this. There's never been animosity. Like you're so good around each other. I've seen images of you watching each other play. What do you think, Eli, go to a moment of being Peyton's brother where you realized, oh my God, my big brother's, like, this is a big thing. Like he's not Peyton, he's Peyton. Like the first moment you knew, okay, my brother's like, it's not just a brother thing. Like he can't be in public.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably when he was at Tennessee, his senior year at Tennessee, kind of the summer going into that. I was in high school, and I went up to stay with them that summer for a week. And I was going to work out with them, in the weight room and just go throw with them with his receivers there. And that was kind of the first time that I saw like his work ethic in person, I think. And that was like, it just, I'm in high school. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I'm just kind of enjoying playing all the sports. And I just saw, I kind of said, I want to know what your normal week is and what that looks like in college. And I don't think what he was doing in college was what other normal college quarterbacks was doing. Just the amount of film study, what he did in the workout, how he can, kind of just commanded his offensive group and his receivers and had them out on the fields, how he conducted those 7-on-7 drills and the 1-on-1s. It was just such a learning thing for me to see him in action. And then also to see him, how he conducted himself kind of going to dinner and around a college campus where he was, kind of the god there, and just everybody looked up to him and wanted to be around him. And so I think that was the first time. And it was just kind of a, wow, my brother's pretty freaking awesome. Like this guy's got it, He not only is he, knows exactly what he wants to do. He wants to be great. It's not about how he talks about being great. It's how he works at being great. And then it's how he treats people and how he handles it, the limelight and doing all that. And it was just kind of opened your eyes to kind of the mindset and the work ethic that I was going to take if I wanted to have some sort of that same success. And he's just always been able to take it to a higher level at every, when you think you're working hard, all of a sudden, I kind of wonder what Peyton's doing. And I know he's doing something more, whether he's watching more film, whether he has more code words or, then you see him in the NFL and all of a sudden he's, changing the game of the NFL and going to a no huddle offense. And he's basically the offensive coordinator on the field. And it's like, how do you keep competing with this? How do you try to match that? And I think early on, I just said, I don't know if I can match everything he does. All I know is I'm going to work as hard as I think I can possibly work and try to be the best I can be. And that's all I can ask for. If I try to keep up with him and compete with him, it's going to be really hard because I know he's going to have the mindset that he's going to work harder than anybody and do it better than anybody.
Are you ready to amp up the excitement every college football Saturday this year? I want you to play my game, Saturday Spreads, on FanDuel. It's called Colin Cowherd Saturday Spreads. 10 games, make your pick, $5,000 up for grabs every damn week. So with the volume, this is the college football game we've been thinking about for the last several months. It's called Colin Cowherd's Saturday Spreads. This week's game, I like Alabama to cover against Miami. The line's big, but I like them to cover. I like Clemson to cover against Georgia. I think Louisiana will give Texas trouble, lose, but cover against the Longhorns. So We're going to be doing a ton of content in college football inside the garage with Kyle Hamilton and his Notre Dame teammates, the Jay Boy Show. Middlecoff and I love college football. Go to FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. Or just download the FanDuel app. Check it out. $5,000 each week in prizes. No purchase necessary. Age restrictions apply depending on location. Void where prohibited. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Virginia, and West Virginia. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See all terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, or Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. You know, it really speaks well of your parents. Now, I'm old, okay, so this is just how I see this. You have remarkable parents because there's two things you guys do that is, for anybody listening to this podcast, I have six kids between my two biological, I'm divorced, and I have four, I inherited four with my wife. And the two things I try to, you know, tell our kids, be humble. We're luckier than most. You guys are so humble considering your dad's famous and you've done very well. The second thing I love about you guys is that I'm fascinated that Peyton now lives in Colorado and you, I can't get over this, and that you, Eli, are like a New York, New Jersey guy. And the reason I say that is because the South can be its own culture. It's got its own feel and food, and it's, it really is. All my Southern friends, like, they could never leave the South. And you guys, Peyton's a Westie and you're a Northeast guy. And it's like, okay, that goes back to parenting. There is something that you guys are comfortable in different environments. And Peyton, speak to that. It's not, this is not typical. Like, you live in Colorado. I can't get over that.
Well, I can't get over the fact that Eli uses a season as a verb when he tells me he's summering in the Hamptons. I'm like, who are you? Used to be a Southern kid from New Orleans, and now you're summering in the Hamptons. Don't talk to me ever again. You know, I think it speaks to both of us, like, how connected we were with the teams we were playing for. I mean, that's kind of what Eli said. I remember talking to him last year. He's like, I played here 17 years. All my friends are here. I love New York. I love the people. I'm going to live here. I'm not just going to move somewhere else. And I always thought I would have lived in Indianapolis, Colin. It's where I was drafted. It's where I, you know, lived year round. And then, you know, you get hurt and you get injured and you got to go find somewhere else to play. And then, you know, kids, as you mentioned, kind of come into play. Ashley and I had kids as we got here to Denver. They're in school. Moving's a pain in the butt. And Denver's a great city. And I have a connection here because I got to play for the Broncos. And so it's powerful, that connection that football can provide someone with that city. And it just seems like the right place for me to be. And I do feel far away sometimes from Eli. Right. And we probably don't see each other as much anymore with the New York to Denver connection. But obviously that's why we're doing this Monday night thing, so we can be together for 10 Mondays of fall.
You know, it's going to be a hit. Eli, take me. I'm a West Coast guy that moved to the Northeast, lived in Connecticut 10 years, and I can remember when I fell in love with it. And it was the fall, and it was a Yankee-Red Sox series, and I was at a game. And I remember, as a kid that grew up on the coast of Washington, thinking, I would have never experienced this. I had no idea this existed. Driving over the Tappan Zee, you know, you go, you're in Brooklyn. And I remember just sitting at Yankee Stadium thinking, God, my life, I'm in the center of the world. And it was a cool thing. Eli, take me to your first recollection of New York, where you were like, I like it. I'm okay here. Like, I like it.
You know, I think that's my rookie year. Actually, it's probably my second year. I think it's probably my second year more where I was in there. I'm the starting quarterback. You know, you win a game on a Sunday and you and your teammates go out to New York City and go to eat and go kind of get to celebrate. And it just, that's when it seemed right. And I think just all the different things New York has to offer. I mean, the fact that, you know, like you said, I've been to Yankees games, I've been to Mets games, I've been to Nets games, I've been to Knicks games, I've been to Rangers games, you know. Shoot, I went to a Jets game once and watched Peyton, I guess, you know. So it's like You have all these sports. You have the food. You have the music. You have the theater. You have just the museums. There's just so much action going on, and it's just during the season, it was always hard to get it. But that's why we kind of stayed here in the off season a bunch, and in January and February, not a whole lot's going on. You say, hey, we can kind of, this is our time where we can kind of get to know New York City a little bit. And my wife and I and our kids, and get them to kind of know all the things that it has to offer and why it is the greatest city in the world. Let's take part of it. And we live in New Jersey, but I think that's why we stayed up here. I think there's still aspects of the city. And I know right now it's kind of a weird time with everything going on. But there's still so much, of New York and of New Jersey and the Northeast that I didn't get to experience because I was playing and just didn't have the time, that we still, want to make this home to take all those things in. So it's just such a wonderful place. And
I think you're selling yourself short, Colin. I remember when Eli told me, he said, guess what I did last night? I said, what's that? He said, I was at Rayo's and I sang New York, New York with Yogi Berra last night. I'm like, okay, you got me there. Okay. I went to St. Elmo's in Indianapolis and had the shrimp cocktail. You win that battle. So I think that was after
our first Super Bowl, and I was feeling really good about myself, and like I had the world figured out, and I was the greatest player and the greatest New Yorker of all time. And I asked Yogi how many championships he won, and he said nine. He said nine. I said, all right, I got a lot of work to do.
Beat it, kid. No autographs.
Yeah, get out of here.
It's your most successful coach. Dungy's. I know Tony because I covered him in Tampa. He really gave you the offense, as he should. You had Coughlin, who went from angry Tom to more laconic Tom. He changed. It is interesting. Is that, was Tony the perfect coach for your personality, Peyton? And I wonder, was Tom, in retrospect, you're like, intense Tom, Eli, may have been perfect for you. Whereas Peyton, you're so intense, Tony may have been perfect for you.
He was. He kept me calm. I remember our first meeting, he told me, he said, Peyton, I love how aggressive you are. I love some of these throws you make, but you throw too many interceptions. And I'm telling you, if you keep it up, we're not going to win games. And defenses are counting on you being impatient, getting frustrated, and you're going to throw them one late in the game. It's going to cost us the game. So kind of right off the bat, he's so direct and to the point, but in this calm, nice manner, right? I mean, he's not, pointing his finger at me and yelling at me. He's just as calm as he always was. Tony Dungy was as calm in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl as he was out there at practice every day. And that's why you loved him, because when your leader's calm, it's easier for the people following that leader to be calm as well. What Tony really did for me as well, Colin, he's known as a defensive guy, but he also was a college quarterback at Minnesota.
That's right.
So he saw it from both sides, but he took me into the defense's mind. And he told me, Peyton, this is what the defense is being taught to do. This is what this safety, this is what his coach is telling him to do. These are the rules of the defense. So these are the holes in those rules. So the plays that you want to call need to be these kind of plays to take advantage. And I'd never been taught that side of it before. My message to young quarterbacks is go spend time with the defensive coordinator on your team. Watch some film with him and see what he's teaching his players. And then you know what they're thinking. And Belichick has done that with Brady over the years. I've heard Tom talk about it. You've seen him watching film together. So Tony just had that great insight for me, and it just took my game to a whole new level.
I asked John Lynch one time, I said, you must be way more comfortable drafting defensive players. He goes, no, I covered offensive guys. Yeah. He goes, I've had more success with the Niners drafting offensive guys because I know weakness.
That's right.
Eli, you had Tom. You have a very nice dad, a very quiet dad, your college coach, David Cutcliffe, a Southern gentleman. And then you got Tom, who turns purple. Was there, take me to the first purple moment with Coughlin, Eli, and your reaction. I mean, Tom literally looked like a plum in when he would get mad. Take me to the first moment and your reaction to him.
I think I just appreciated Coach Coughlin, and I always liked tough coaches. And I just think that's just kind of what football is about. It's the demanding coach. And And Coughlin, I mean, if you showed up 5 minutes early for your meeting, if you worked extremely hard and prepared, and you just liked and loved football, you know, he was okay. He didn't get on you. So, he saw the hard work. If you couldn't do those three things, you really shouldn't be playing professional football anyway. And those are the people he had a problem with. But, I mean, he was so much just on preparation. I remember my rookie year, I'm not starting, but it's the first game. And he says, hey, Eli, I want you to break down all the blitzes that the Eagles have done. That's who we're playing the first game. Break down all their blitzes and for these, you know, four protections, kind of our four main protections. I want you to draw up the blitz and how you'd pick them up that they'd done. And so, you know, I just kind of did their, you know, their preseason games. They hadn't done that many blitzes. I did them up. And so all of a sudden next week, I kind of do it, you know, do it then. And all of a sudden still week eight. And I'm having to do, you know, it's not just the last 4 weeks of blitzes. It's 8 weeks of every blitz that the team done, drawing up the four protections. And you know, it would take a while. And I thought, like, I was like, no way he's looking at every one of mine. Like, I'm doing a few of them, I just kind of like made up or just like, you know, just kind of got tired. I would skip one. Sure enough, you know, he's like, what the hell is this, Eli? You're skipping the 76 protection on this one. I'm like, sorry, coach. I mean, he went through every one, red, you know, had the red ink. You know, if I made a mistake, I mean, it was 300, you know, drawings that I would do a week on all their protections. And he looked through every one to make sure I was knew what I was doing, making the right call and picking up every blitz that they had done the right way. And so, it taught me, you know, all of a sudden when I got to play in my next year, I knew my protections and I knew I never took a hit from a guy who I never came to the sideline and said, well, I thought I was going to be protected there when I wasn't. I always knew everybody's assignment, what they were doing. And it just taught me, you know, so much about preparation and how much you had to do at this level to get an edge on knowing what you're doing and what the opponents is doing.
Finally, 10 weeks, Monday Night Football. The reason this is going to be great, because first of all, I think everybody understands what this is going to be. This is going to be brothers at a bar talking football. And so I think everybody's going to get it and everybody's going to love it. But I also think there's something you guys have in common. And this is, it speaks again, because you're just different. I mean, your upbringing, you both had centers with a sense of humor. Jeff, I love Jeff Saturday. And so Jeff Saturday came up to me when I was at ESPN. And he just retired and he came up to me and he goes, hey, you don't remember this, but my contract was up a couple years ago and you went on the air and talked about me a center for 10 minutes. And he said, you said on the air, listen, Peyton's great, but he's so intense. You better understand that being the center for Peyton's no day at the beach. And he goes, literally Polian heard it. And I thought, oh Jesus. And then true story. And then you had, I just watched the other day, Cooper was interviewing your center.
Yeah.
We have these glimpses of the center quarterback relationship in both of your lives. I mean, I got video of you barking at Saturday, barking back at you. But I always felt, Peyton, and I'll start with you, that's a really unique relationship of trust that I don't think fans get. You and Saturday, you went back and forth at each other like brothers.
Absolutely. You know, people talk about a quarterback, you know, you got to get that timing with your receiver, right? That's the first goal. And you got to have a great relationship with your left tackle. He protects your blind side. That's BS. The most important relationship you can have as a quarterback is with your center. Saturday and I, our lockers were right next to each other. Every other Colts section was divided by positions, right? Defensive backs over here, wide receivers over here, quarterbacks over here, except for me, because I wanted to be right in the middle of the offensive line. I was right in between Jeff Saturday and Ryan Deem, my center and my tackle. Saturday and I sat next to each other on the plane ride. Okay. We flew the whole flight together, watching film together. This is kind of in the pre-iPad era, right? We still had a computer. We're drawing things up on a piece of paper. I didn't room with him because he sleeps naked. I don't want to deal with that, you know, on a hotel in Minnesota. And I apologize to the viewers for that vision in your mind. But I mean, you know, we took, you know, 30 snaps before every practice, simulating a full speed game. We're pouring water on the ball, simulating a wet ball drill. Jeff's like, Peyton, we're playing in the RCA Dome this week why are we doing the wet ball drill? I'm like, there might be a leak in the roof. I don't know. But sure enough, we play in the Super Bowl and there's a monsoon in Miami. And Saturday and I have zero fumbled snaps. The Bears have two.
Yeah. So
Jeff, that's why we were doing the wet ball drill back in October in 2003. So it is funny that O'Hara and Saturday look like each other.
They do.
They're similar. Eli, remember the time at the Pro Bowl when me, you, and O'Hara were talking and Kerry Collins walks up. He's like, hey, Peyton. Hey, Eli. Hey, Jeff. And Sean O'Hara's like, actually, I'm Sean Kerry. I snapped to you for a full season in New York. I'm glad you know who I am.
Yeah, the quarterback center relationship is, I mean, you know, our hands are at places that, you know, usually do not go near another man. You know, it's just you get close real quick, and especially when O'Hara, we go out for a jog through, and he thought it'd be a good idea to cut a hole in his shorts. So I put my hands under center, and I get a nice surprise. About what's going on, but I can't say anything because I know Kaufman's gonna rip him and like make a big deal if you know if he finds out. So I just had I kind of go to shotgun, and you know Kaufman's like, "Why are we running power? Why are we running power out of shotgun? Like, what's Omaha, going on here?
Omaha like, shotgun,
Omaha gun. Shotgun, get me out of here."
Well, guys, you've been great. I really appreciate this. Eli, we've done some events. You're wonderful. Peyton, you were so patient with me and all my nonsense. This is going to be great. 10 weeks, Monday Night Football. It's going to be exactly what it should be. Unique, fun, smart brothers. I can't wait. I don't even need to root for you. It's going to work. It's going to be, as a broadcaster, I love new stuff. And this is going to be so smart and fun. And just go kick ass. I can't wait for it.
Just so you know, Peyton, yeah. Coop just sent me a text saying that me and you can go on Soup with Coop if he can come on Monday Night Football. I say no deal. I think that's a pass.
No, yeah. I don't like being leveraged like that. But, Colin, we do need guests, and we do need, football player guest and non-football player guest. You are in that non-player guest. I know you played a little bit of high school ball or junior high, but you're in that non-football guest. But you're on for the third quarter of week three. I've already talked to your agent. I've already got it booked. So thanks for being available.
Yeah, I'm sure ESPN would love to have me back on the air. They just love that. Hey, it's great, guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks Colin.
A lot. Appreciate it, Colin.
All right, kick ass. See you, bro. Thanks, guys.
Volume.